It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Monday, December 20th, 2010. I'm John Moe. The FCC is scheduled to vote tomorrow on a plan to address net neutrality. The plan requires internet providers to deliver all web content as long as it's legal. It also makes it harder for broadband carriers to slow down some traffic and give a fast lane to other traffic. For wireless, the restrictions are looser. Tim Wu is a professor at Columbia Law School. He coined the term net neutrality. He's a big proponent of net neutrality also. His new book, The Master Switch, The Rise and Fall of Information Empires, talks about how emerging technologies have been handled in the past. Radio used to be wide open, people starting stations all over. After a while, it was just big companies. Telephones, similar situation. Tim, we're doing more than ever on the web. We're watching movies, downloading stuff. That's why some of these providers say they need more means to manage that traffic.
The fact there's more traffic on the internet is always been true and is nothing new. The fact that it's traffic in a way that competes with income that's due the cable companies, according to them, is where the interest in addressing net neutrality comes from.
Well, then, I mean, that gets into an even broader existential question about the internet then, because if these companies who have a vested interest in something like Netflix failing seek to destroy it, are those forces more powerful than the broader democratized web that would seem to support it?
That is the question of our times. Companies, when threatened, try to destroy that which threatens them. It's just natural corporate nature. But there are a lot of ideals on the internet about spreading information around. So we're in a battle, as we always have been, between those two forces, the sort of idealism of a new communications technology, now one that's 15 years old, versus the interests in money and protecting market share. There's not easy to predict a winner.
Is there anything intrinsically unique, then, about the internet that could make the outcome different than any of these other models you've discussed?
My answer is maybe.
Well played, Tim Wu.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. It's written to be different. It was coded, designed to try to be different, right? But that doesn't guarantee it stays that way.
Expand on that.
Well, what was so interesting about the internet's invention is that, for once, it was invented by a group of people who didn't really have a lot of power. They had to sort of invite everyone, hey, come join. It's like a church or like a movement. Hey, come join up. Join this network. It's going to be really great. We're going to have some good times. And so as a result, it's the first network which is governed by the people who are on the network. And as such, it does, as they've said, sort of resist centralized control. But, of course, everything can be overcome. There's a fundamental question at the heart of net neutrality which does not go away, which is, can the private carriers who have a lot of power over the internet discriminate in favor of what they like? And, of course, they want to do that. You know, there's sort of peace for a while, but then they discover something happens like Netflix, and all of a sudden Comcast is thinking, we really got to get rid of Netflix or they're going to run over us. And so what's in their way is net neutrality. So anytime a new competitor shows up, the incumbent is going to want to destroy them, and that will raise net neutrality issues. So you can, anytime you see industrial warfare on the internet, you will see net neutrality.
Tim Wu's new book is The Master Switch. There's more of my conversation with Tim, including how Google, Apple, and Facebook are changing what we think technology is. That's at marketplacetech.org. Tweets that people tweet on Twitter are just words on a screen, right? Well, unless they're song lyrics. Kevin Smith and Jeremy Johnson run a website called We Sing Your Tweets. They find tweets, then they sing them.
We actually were thinking about writing our own songs, trying to see if we could write songs in 140 characters and post them on Twitter. And then we decided, you know, why do that when there's like, you know, a billion songwriters?
Look at all these lyrics, all these songwriters out here.
And plus, we kind of think it's a nice way, since Twitter is in a way, you know, having people kind of putting out what they think is important, what they think is nice to say. It's kind of like singing what they wrote and then giving it back to them is almost like amplifying their tweet.
Of the accounts, hacked a Gawker, nearly 2,000 were using the password. Well played.
That was one of our tweets from at Marketplace Tech. Hear musical tweets of Dolly Parton, the Dalai Lama, and much more, all at marketplacetech.org. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.